us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, I want to talk about ivermectin.
Oh.
You know, so many people, especially Republicans, Donald Trump was the first person to talk about ivermectin. He wasn't the guy who invented the conversation on it, but he was the first guy to come on national television and talk about this is what we need to be, you know, pointing towards. We've got all that's the stuff that they used to give to horses, right?
I think they give it to horses for either it's a parasite, anti-parasitical, or antifungal medication. I don't know if it deworms horses. Maybe it deworms people, too.
Yeah. Well, but as it turns out, they've done a lot of studies.
Right.
And now they can almost definitively state that ivermectin doesn't do anything to help, you know, you fight off.
We should call Joe Rogan and Aaron Rodgers. I think they had done some heavy-duty research, I think, at some point, too.
You know, a lot of money tied up in this, you know, especially the people who develop ivermectin. And
well, I think ivermectin actually is a very cheap medicine. I think it's first of all, it was developed for veterinary purposes, and I think it is very cheap. But people were taking it prophylactically, meaning taking it so they wouldn't get it, not because they had the disease, so they wouldn't get it. I mean, it was all kind of goofy, the kind of stuff that spreads on the internet as theories, and then people buy into it because there's a bunch of people, I think, who will believe almost anything that a doctor doesn't tell them, but somebody else does tell them. You know, it's sort of a different pathway. And it has to do with skepticism and a resentment of authority. And the fact is the whole pharma industry and the medical industry is held in pretty low regard, and with good cause. So I think the reaction to that is that if I get a theory that's generated by someone outside the traditional medical industry, I'll be much more willing to buy into it. Ivermectin was one of those.
You know, if you look at the times and when all of this was going on and people were terrified and talk show hosts, why would you listen to a person who's on the microphone? I mean, you know, I'm on this microphone.
There's a good question. says Earl into his microphone and answers me into mine.
You know, but I'm saying I'm not on here. We're not on there telling people what medications to take, right?
Now, we've got other baloney to spread.
telling people what medications to take and all those kinds of things. And there were people who really were believing in that. And the fact, Sandy, that because I knew guys who were taking ivermectin.
Well, you know, if you just talk to people, many, many people will give you ideas about which vitamins to take and what supplements will be good for you. And many of them undoubtedly are. The FDA doesn't spend much time or attention, and the kinds of huge longitudinal studies that would be required to prove them out aren't carried out. And so, you know, I think it took quite a while before Harvard decided that zinc was something that was good to take to help you fight off viruses.
Yeah.
And vitamin C was a theory that was expressed by the Buckminster Fuller initially, who made geodesic domes, for God's sake. And then he started selling vitamin C, and it took a long time for science to say, yeah, vitamin C is probably something that's pretty good for you. So I think the slowness of the medical community to respond to age-old theories of what's good for you, arnica and all these things that are much more holistic than what you get sold by the doctors, has a lot of traction out there in the world at large, not just the U.S. but across the world, and then inside the U.S. too. And the internet has become a big conduit for people telling one another the kinds of seemingly benign cures that aren't expensive medicines, that aren't sold by this medical world that everyone is skeptical about because they think that they're all in it for the profit. And so I just think based on the skepticism, people are ready for snake oil salesmen to sell them or tell them things that can do them good. I'm not sure ivermectin was something that was peddled by the maker of ivermectin. I think it was more peddled by people on the internet who thought they had something that was potentially viable and ran contrary to medical science.
You know, you just used the term science, and the fact that we have so many people in this country who don't care about that anymore, you know. And so what do the scientists know? I hear people say, what do the scientists know? And I'm like, what do the scientists know? You should be flipping that around. They've done research, study.
Yeah.
They know. And then you're going to believe and listen to people who have not done any research, any study? And unfortunately, Sandy, so many people in this country are like that now. And I don't know how you turn that around.
Well, to some extent, this was earned by the government, though, because I think the government has always started with science, but then has spun the science as they see fit to us for their political purposes. So, you know, I'm a vaccine supporter, right? But vaccine was sold as something that was absolutely safe, okay? Now, everyone who's a scientist knows that vaccines are not absolutely safe. They carry a nominal risk, a risk at some level, but they are safe if you look at it from a public health perspective, because it's important that the country be vaccinated. Maybe this is the way the rationale would go. The country needs to get vaccinated to save the hospital system, to save a bunch of lives. But will the vaccine be a problem for some people? Yes, but we didn't sell it that way. We talked about absolute safety, and when you talk about absolute safety, the first person who gets a blood clot from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine becomes a scandal, and it creates doubt that, oh my God, we were being lied to all the time. See, they always lie to us, and the fact is that we've lied to the public, the government has, on many other things as well, in the name of science. So I think, are scientists themselves true? Absolutely. Is science, when it's filtered through the government, something that can be absolutely trusted? Probably not. You know, we probably need a news media and a skeptic audience to figure out exactly how the story is being spun and what the truth is. And I think it's that skepticism that has laid the seeds of doubt in the public about science and has left us without a rudder and without an anchor with respect to what's true and what isn't true, what's science and what isn't science. It's, you know, it's, we've played into the hands of the people who want to deal with us in a matter of complete skepticism. And so, you know, that's authoritarianism.
You know, Sandy, this battle that continues inside this country. I don't know. Did we always have these battles inside of this country? I mean, it's never been. We've never been, 100% collective in this country.
I think it's crept up on us. I think when the Salk vaccine came out and polio was such a horror and it solved polio so quickly, and probably Salk vaccine had some downside, but everyone saw the upside and there was no problem. But I think, you know, the government's handling, let's talk about some things. Agent Orange. How did our government sell Agent Orange to us during the period of the Vietnam conflict, and what was the truth that
came Sandy,
out?
What I want to do is, because this is a subject that I think we shouldn't just, you know, gloss over. We'll come back and talk about this on the other
side.
Hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams, the best hours in radio anywhere, is in the studio. We'll be right back.